Tatiana McFadden won the women's wheelchair division of this year's Boston Marathon. Then she won at the London Marathon. And last Sunday, she won her division in the Chicago Marathon.
I think once you do one marathon, you sort of get sucked in and you want to do all of them.
And she's competing next month in New York. Tatiana McFadden is our first guest today on Focus. Later, you'll meet another wheelchair athlete, Josh George. He's the official athlete in residence at IntelliWheels. That's a champagne company dedicated to improving wheelchair wheel design. George and IntelliWheels co-founder Marissa Siebel will talk about their work on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Our program continues after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Wheelchairs and wheelchair athletes are the subjects on today's program. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to two of the key people at IntelliWheels, a champagne company devoted to building a better manual wheelchair. But first, we'll be hearing from two local wheelchair athletes, one of whom works for IntelliWheels, and one who was the winner in her division at last Sunday's Chicago Marathon. Tatiana McFadden was born with spina bifida and abandoned by her mother in her native Russia, but she was adopted and brought to America, where she began her athletic career. Now a senior at the University of Illinois, McFadden set a course record in her division at last Sunday's Chicago Marathon, finishing in 1 hour, 42 minutes, and 35 seconds. This is just the latest major victory for the 24-year-old McFadden, who won in the Boston and London marathons back in April of this year, on top of previous marathon victories. She also won 6 gold medals at this year's IPC Athletics World Championships in Lyon and is a medalist in the last 3 Paralympic Games. I spoke with Tatiana McFadden on Monday, the day after her Chicago win. And Tatiana McFadden, congratulations on your win at the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Can you take us back to the end of the race? From what I understand, you were competing with, Manuela Scher of Switzerland during the last quarter mile?
So the last quarter of a mile just came down to a sprint. I remember leading the last, half mile, and Manuela sure did an attack where she accelerated past me. And, thinking at that point, I was like, no, I have to beat her up this hill. And if I can beat her up this hill, then take that turn first, then it will, there'll be a pretty close matchup. And so by the time we got to that hill, my arms were just burning. I mean, I couldn't even feel a thing. And, you've worked so hard and you give 110% and you're feeling lightheaded and, you're almost there. You have 250 meters left. And so it just came down to that 250 meter sprint. And it was neck and neck. And it's just, I couldn't even believe it that I won, because it was a very close sprint finish. Manuela is an excellent sprinter. I mean, she's known to have a sprinting background like me, so I knew it was going to be one of the biggest challenges. So I can't even believe it that I crossed the line ahead of time.
It sounds like it was just something you couldn't even think. You just had to do it.
Exactly. It came down to muscle memory, just being so exhausted, so fatigued. It really did come down to muscle memory and just focusing, okay, you have to accelerate, you have to push even further of what you can do. And so much lactic acid built up in my arms, but I had to just keep pushing. I saw that, the red line, and I knew that I needed to cross that banner. And I was just about focus and just sprint and your tail off.
I want to clarify, I may have read something incorrectly in a newspaper account. That was an uphill sprint that you were doing there?
Correct. So it was an uphill sprint and then immediate downhill for 250 meters. But we had a headwind the entire last 2 miles. It was a headwind on Michigan. So we didn't really feel much of a downhill because of the headwind. But it was a climb up and then straight down. And that last, like, 250 meters is that downhill sprint.
Wow. Now, Amanda McGrory was, I guess she came in third. She's a U of I alumnus. I was wondering what it's like competing directly against someone from your own school like that. Or do those things just sort of fade away from your mind once the race is on?
It's actually, you know, it's pretty cool to compete against her because, you know, every day at practice it's like competition. And then you do the real thing. And she works so hard, you know, she's definitely a hard working racer. So I really enjoy in racing with her, and you know, I was so happy that she was able to finish in the top three and be right there with us. So we couldn't ask for a better day for two Illinois students to be in the top three.
Now, you've won three major marathons this year, Boston, London, and Chicago, and the New York Marathon is coming up next month. Was this a goal that you would set? Were you saying to yourself at the beginning of 2013, I'm going to win these four marathons this year?
I think my goal in the beginning of the year was just running and placing somewhere in the top three. Boston I was worried about because, it's extremely hilly, and it's basically almost like a downhill course, but with, like, lots of hills in between. So I was just really nervous on those long, long straight downhills because I'm, you know, that's not really what I'm good at. So I was really, really nervous about that. And in London, that was a really tough race because I'm always right there, but I've never won it before, but just always so close and right there. So it was really exciting that I won that this year and set a course record there. You know, so I think my goals were just to run it, play somewhere like in the top three, hopefully, and to always, you know, push the best that I can push.
How are you preparing for the New York Marathon? Does that marathon present particular challenges?
It does, because it's different from the Chicago Marathon because it's not as flat. There's lots of climbing. There's lots of downhill. So, you know, I just have to play smart and do my own strengths and weaknesses and push as fast as I can and as hard as I can and really just push my own race.
Are there other competitors you're looking out for and formulating a strategy for?
I really just look out for everyone because, you know, you just don't know in marathons because, you know, you could have a flat, you know, someone else could be pushing really well. So weather has a huge factor. All those things, you know, you have to take in consideration of the marathon.
Now, you've competed in shorter events, of course, but you've been really making a name for yourself in marathons. Do marathons, just all the qualities they have, the distance, the fact that they're done on the street, you know, the sheer number of participants, do marathons have a special appeal for you?
They do, because I think once you do one marathon, you sort of get sucked in and you want to do all of them. You know, I've never used to be a marathoner. I was coming from a spinning background. I didn't even consider running marathons. I mean, that wasn't even in consideration until I came to University of Illinois. But I'm really happy that Adam convinced me to run marathons because it really does help with my sprinting in track, and it helps with my distance in track, and the track helps with my marathoning. So they really complement each other really, really well.
And you just mentioned Adam, and that is?
Adam Bleakney is the University of Illinois wheelchair track coach.
Okay. I take it he's been a big help for you this over the last few years.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I would say that he's probably, you know, the best coach in the world for wheelchair racing. I mean, without him, you know, I wouldn't be as successful as I am.
Tatiana, on your website, it tells about how you spent your early childhood at an orphanage in Russia where, I guess, things were so tight you didn't have a wheelchair during your first few years, and you essentially had to use your hands as feet for walking on. Do you think this contributed to the upper body strength that helps your performance today, or was this actually an obstacle for your performance growth?
You know, I don't know. A few people said, you know, it probably helped. But for me, at that moment, it was just a survival thing. You know, it was just, I think it, living, having my background just really developed like my personality and my characteristics. And that really took into racing, you know, the hard determination and, having the drive and the will, you know, what I lived in the past really just carried on to what I'm doing now. I mean, I don't think it really, I mean, some people say it definitely helped my strength. I mean, at that moment, to me, I just feel like it was just something I needed to do because it was just survival mode, you know, for me to get around places.
Now, I understand that after the marathons are over for the season, you're turning to cross-country skiing during the winter, and you hope to be a part of the U.S. team for the 2014 Winter Paralympics in Russia. Have you competed in cross-country skiing before, or is this new?
It's very new. Last year, it was my first time trying cross-country skiing. I love it. You know, I have the strength and the endurance for it. You know, the part that I'm really learning is the technique. But so far it's been a blast. I mean, the coaches have been amazing. The teammates have been really supportive in me trying the sport and helping me gain knowledge of the sport. So I've really had a great time learning. And so we'll see. The qualifications are in January where they will pick the team. And so last year, you know, not being out in the snow for ever, you know, I've only been out in the snow for a week, I think. I did really well at the U.S. Championships, and I did well at the World Cup. So I placed in top two in the U.S. Championships, and then for World Cup, I placed in the top four. So we'll see. I still have a lot of work ahead of me.
Well, that does sound like a promising start. Are you still competing? Are you still competing in wheelchair basketball?
I am not. I stopped my sophomore year where I really just wanted to concentrate on racing and marathons and concentrate on the London Games. So that's the reason why I stopped.
This is actually a question from my producer who does some running herself. So she has her own answer to this question. Where do you keep your race medals? Do you keep them where you can see them, or do you keep them hidden away?
All my race medals are at home, and they're neatly stacked up in my closet.
Do you ever look at them when you're at home?
Sometimes I do. I do look at them because, I mean, it's such a huge accomplishment. You know, it took a long time for me to get where I am, and so it's nice just to always just take a moment and reflect and, you know, think about your personal accomplishments.
And I understand you're in your senior year here at the University of Illinois?
I am, yes. I'm in my senior year. I graduate in December. I can't even believe it. I'm going to be sad when I graduate.
What will your degree be in?
My degree is in human development and concentration in child life.
So what do you hope to do next? Either academically or professionally, or do you just hope to keep competing for a little while longer?
I really hope just to, transition to just being an athlete and an advocate for people with disabilities and help other people get started in sports and continue racing and going to the next Olympics and World Championships and run more marathons. And so that's what I hope to continue to do, just really share knowledge about the sport with others.
I imagine you must already be having a lot of conversations with people who are interested in entering the sports yourself. Do you get a lot of satisfaction from that?
I do. You know, it's always really nice to have someone because, you know, they look at you as your role model. And, you know, I had I needed the same thing. You know, I had a lot of questions when I started wheelchair racing, and people helped me, and so I think it's important to give back.
Well, Tatiana McFadden, thank you very much for talking with me. Congratulations on your win in Chicago, and best of luck with the New York Marathon next month.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And our interview with Tatiana McFadden was recorded on Monday. With me right now here on Focus is another wheelchair athlete from Champaign-Urbana who also did well in the Chicago Marathon last Sunday. He placed third in the men's wheelchair division with a time of 1 hour, 30 minutes, 38 seconds, the fastest American in his division. He's Joshua George. He's also a Paralympic Games medalist, having won medals in 2004 and 2008, if I'm correct. And he's a U of I alumnus who trains with the U of I Wheelchair Athletics Program. Josh, welcome to Focus.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today.
And Josh, tell me about your Chicago Marathon experience. I understand you had a real close finish, too. In fact, on the Chicago Marathon website, it looks like you had the same time as second place finisher Kurt Fernley of Australia, but I gather there was a difference in the actual time.
Unfortunately so. We had a tight finish as well, just like in the women's division. It was probably one of the most fun races I've ever run in my life, and it came down to a pack of four of us for the last about half marathon and a sprint finish at the end. And I unfortunately took the last left-hand turn a little bit wide and ended up a little bit back behind first and second place and just couldn't quite close the distance at the end. But we all finished in a tight pack through the line.
I have to admit, fun is not the word I think of. Of course, I've never been in any sort of a marathon, but grueling, exhausting, but fun.
Well, grueling and exhausting also existed. They were there and they were definitely felt afterwards. But during the race, pushing with such high caliber athletes and being able to really think through different strategies throughout the course of the race, it was fun. That's what any marathoner wants.
Well, also joining us is Marissa Siebel. She's an athletic trainer and manager with the U of I Wheelchair Athletic Program. So she's spent time working with both Josh and with Tatiana McFadden. Marissa and Josh are both with IntelliWheels, and we'll be talking about that company's work in a bit. By the way, Marissa, congratulations on being named Woman of the Year in this year's 40 Under 40 list from Central Illinois Business Magazine.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But as a trainer, I'm wondering, you've worked, first talking with Tatiana McFadden, she sounds like an amazing athlete.
Oh, absolutely. It's been so fun to watch Tot transition from a sprinter, a very accomplished sprinter, to a very accomplished marathoner. She is an absolute, doll to work with. She's so fun to work with, and she is one of the most competitive, incredible athletes. Her sheer talent is unbelievable, and it's really easy to see that out on the course, but day to day she is just very easy to work with, and just all around a great competitor.
And Josh, here you work with both as a trainer, but you're also co-workers at IntelliWheels, so you must see a lot of each other.
We do. Again, it's nice that we get along so well. It's great to work in so many different arenas, all revolving around disability and disability sport, and really looking to innovate and see what we can do to really make an impact. But it's wonderful to work together.
She couldn't escape me if she tried.
One last thing on the marathons. I was looking at the top ranks of the finishers in the wheelchair division of the Chicago Marathon, and there are actually quite a lot of competitors listed as being from Champaign. Are these all connected with the U of I Wheelchair Athletics Program?
Oh, absolutely. The training that goes on here in Champaign, Illinois, is incredible. It is the best in the world. We have such a strong group right now. We actually have athletes have come in from different parts of the country and all over the world to come and train here. So it's really nice to see, especially with the Chicago Marathon being so close, that we're very, very well represented there.
Well, if you have questions about wheelchair athletics or wheelchairs themselves, as we'll get into in a moment, call us here on Focus with your questions and comments at 1-800-222-9455. Toll-free number 1-800-222-WILL. You can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu, and we welcome your questions on Facebook and Twitter at Focus580. Now, at IntelliWheels, I understand Joshua George is in charge of public relations, and you're also the official athlete in residence.
That's what it says.
And Marissa, you're one of the founders of the company and vice president for marketing. Marissa, what is the IntelliWheels story? I know you work with wheelchair design, but what is your company trying to do?
Oh, gosh. really fun adventure that we've had over the past 3.5 years. And I really give a lot of credit to the community and really our environment that we've been able to grow our company. It all started with Scott Daigle, who is our mechanical engineer. He was a Lemelson winner out of the University of Illinois in mechanical engineering. Scott had an idea of how to add gears to a wheelchair to really innovate and make it more efficient for someone to use a wheelchair. Scott created a couple prototypes. Scott and I met in a wheelchair propulsion lab here on campus. From then, we actually started working together and fine-tuning his prototypes. Originally, he had designed them strictly with a mechanical engineer's vision of how things should work and what was important for the mechanical engineering side of it. I give Scott so much credit. When I introduced him to the wheelchair athletes that I had been working with on campus, to his credit, he really took all of their feedback and was able to innovate with the end user in mind and really transition his prototypes into really working models. His ability to do that and then the support that we have had in this community for fostering entrepreneurship and growth have allowed us to close out a Series A funding round, receive grants from the NIH. We've been able to have access to office space and legal assistance as we've been able to grow the company. Currently, I work with 11 reps selling our easy pushed geared wheel in over 30 states and then also Puerto Rico. So really, in the past 3.5 years, we have grown from an idea that Scott had to really going through that small business startup process, and we're currently selling.
And this is after about 3 years. And I know if you don't use a piece of machinery, you don't really think about the details. But for instance, Josh, you're in a wheelchair right now.
Yeah.
It's not a racing wheelchair. It's it's just a street wheelchair. Is there an IntelliWheels wheel on it?
I do not have an IntelliWheels wheel on my wheelchair right now. Our first product, the IntelliWheels Easy Push, is designed more for the geriatric and pediatric communities, for people who have a little bit more trouble pushing a standard wheelchair through daily activities. And this wheel makes it twice as easy for them to push a wheelchair. But in the future, with our future projects, I absolutely will have an IntelliWheels wheel on my chair.
I'm wondering about the questions that Scott Daigle was able to consider with the feedback from wheelchair athletes, from people using wheelchairs. What sort of things come up as a user that an engineer who is not a user of a wheelchair might not think of offhand?
Well, a lot of the stuff that comes up is just what wheelchair users go through in their daily lives and so what the product needs to meet. For example, the Scott's early prototypes were a little heavy and a little bulky and were hard to take on and off the frame. And he wasn't thinking about the fact that you had to take the wheels on and off the frame constantly. And as soon as he got that feedback, he shifted his designs. And now all our wheels are quick releasable, which means that they can easily be added or removed from any wheelchair frame.
Now, that's something I didn't know. Wheels are frequently removed from wheelchairs for what reason?
Mainly for transportation reasons. So you figure, if you think about all the times that you get in and out of a car throughout the day to get around to different locations, every time we're getting in and out of cars, you often have to take the wheels off of the chair to either have someone else put the chair in the trunk, or if you're driving yourself, to put the chair either in the back seat or the passenger seat of the car.
So a quick release wheel here might be similar to what bicycles are sometimes designed with, so you can transport them.
Exactly. It's the same concept.
Now, the product isn't designed for you in particular, at least not at this stage in your life.
Correct.
Josh, but what can you tell me about using the product and how it feels compared to a regular wheelchair wheel?
The Easy Push wheels are amazing, and I actually got to use them in a fun project we did recently where I used the IntelliWheels Easy Push to pull a car. Because the Easy Push wheels, they basically multiply your force. If you put 1 pound of force into the push rim, you get 2 pounds of force out of the wheel, and it really makes a very extreme difference. I noticed it when I used them to go up and down hills, and then I noticed it when I was actually able to pull two cars strung together using the Easy Push wheels.
I am. If you go to the IntelliWheels.net website, we'll try. If we don't have it already, we'll get it linked to our own Focus webpage at will.illinois.edu/focus. There is video of you pulling. Is that a Honda? I'm not quite sure.
It's a Mazda 3.
It's a Mazda 3. He's pulling a Mazda 3. Yeah, you make it look easy. It seems to be a flat surface.
It's a flat surface. We prove it in the video, but it's all thanks to the IntelliWheels. The IntelliWheels make me twice as strong as I typically am.
Now, this is really just using the gear mechanisms similar to the gear mechanisms in a bicycle?
Exactly. If you think about using a bicycle where you shift gears to navigate different terrains, if you're going uphill, you shift to a low gear. You're going downhill, you shift to a high gear. What the Easy Push does is it's like you're shifting to a low gear all the time. So it always makes things it takes half the effort to push the wheel.
Well, we're going to come back to this subject in a few minutes and talk more about IntelliWheels and wheelchair design and also about wheelchair athletics. This is Focus on WILL, and we are in the midst of our fund drive, where you're welcome to make a pledge at 217-244-9455. We'll be back in a few minutes. And we're back on Focus on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows. We're talking about wheelchair athletes and sports. My guests are wheelchair athlete Josh George. He trains with the U of I Wheelchair Athletic Program. Also, Marissa Siebel is a trainer with U of I Wheelchair Athletics, and they are both with IntelliWheels, a Champaign company working on new types of wheels for wheelchairs. Go to our Facebook page, Focus580, and you'll see the video from the IntelliWheels website of Josh George in a wheelchair fitted out with his company's wheels, pulling a car, a Mazda, to be exact. Do you use a wheelchair? Do you compete in wheelchair sports? What do you think of the sort of wheelchair advances IntelliWheels is trying for? Call us with your questions at 1-800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Focus580. The number again is 1-800-222-WILL. And, I'm wondering, people might think, those of us who don't know anything about wheelchairs, this is all about manual wheelchairs. Electric motorized wheelchairs have been around for a while. Are manual wheelchairs still common anyway?
So when we look at the different assistive technology that's out there, we always want to keep in mind that disability is a huge spectrum and that there are so many different needs across that spectrum. So power chairs absolutely have a very important use for a lot of people, and they allow people to live high-quality lives and independent lives using that equipment. It's a great tool for them. When we look at our manual wheelchairs, that's another end of the spectrum as far as disability is concerned. We like to look at ourselves that there's a lot of room in between, and there's a lot of room for innovation there. Where we really see IntelliWheels fitting in is in between the powered wheelchair and the manual wheelchair. And with our idea of adding geared wheels, we want to make sure that there are more tools out there that people can use in order to live more independent lives and really bring in quality to their life.
When we're talking about spectrum, is something that we're talking about here include the cost, because people have to pay for these wheelchairs?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, it's a very interesting industry to be a part of with everything that's going on with healthcare. A lot of times when people are purchasing things, whether they be durable medical goods or specifically their wheelchairs, they're going through their insurance. So for us, it's really important that we're working and very knowledgeable of what's going on in insurance, whether it be Medicare, Medicaid, working with the different veterans, affairs, hospitals, and understanding how the impact of changes in insurance work for our products. Our current product is reimbursable through insurance. Our future products, we're really looking to develop them so that they are cash sales and could be affordable for anyone to be able to purchase them.
And where do the IntelliWheels wheels come out on the price scale compared to other sorts of wheelchair wheels?
Oh, you know what? Right now we are in between a power chair and a manual chair wheel. So you're paying for that upgrade with a geared wheel. How currently the product works is we sell through durable medical dealers, and we are an approved product nationwide. We're currently working on different strategies to take the product international, and we're able to sell through a dealer. So that dealer can properly fit the IntelliWheel system to the end user. For people who are interested in figuring out if the IntelliWheel's Easy Push is the right product for them, they can contact us through our website, and they can also contact their dealer that they work with to get all of their other durable medical supplies. We'd be able to work with them as well.
And I think you touched on just a little bit, but maybe we can go into more detail who you see as the target consumer for this sort of product, since right now it doesn't look like it's going to be Josh, but there are people with various levels of ability.
Absolutely.
And needs.
Absolutely. We've designed the IntelliWheel's Easy Push, which is our 2-to-1 gear ratio. It is a wheel that Josh explained that it makes it twice as easy to self-propel. So if we're thinking about an aging adult who's using a wheelchair and they struggle to push themselves, if we're able to retrofit their wheelchair with our wheels, now that person has a greater ability to be more independent. So if it's an aging wheelchair user or it's an aging individual who has just started to use a wheelchair who's struggling, that's a really nice target population for us as we're looking at the baby boomers and the aging community. But what I'm really excited about and very passionate about is our pediatric version. We take the same gearing technology, and we have that in a pediatric wheel.
Now, pediatric chairs, are they smaller wheels?
Yeah, so it's a 20-inch wheel, and it's for little ones who are just starting to learn to self-propel.
And 20 inches compared to the standard wheel, which would be?
Which would be 24 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so our larger, more adult, adolescent-size wheel, but our pediatric wheel, we've been fortunate to work with Easter Seals in Peoria and Easter Seals in Bloomington to really kind of fine-tune the concept of creating another tool, an assistive technology, this geared wheel that will allow children to self-propel earlier. And in the world of disability and disability culture, it's really important to establish independence and allow children with disabilities to be able to grow within themselves and really kind of secure some independence for themselves at an early age. I feel that can really make an impact on their development.
Josh, you're officially in head of PR over at IntelliWheels. Do you talk with customers? What sort of questions do people have for you about this product?
Well, people ask all sorts of different questions. And most of the time, it's about how the wheel will fit in with the current system that they have, because wheelchair users over time they get comfortable with a certain setup with their wheelchair, with the way they sit in the chair and how they use the chair. And so it's important to make sure that our wheels will fit in seamlessly with how they already use their equipment, their tools.
Okay. I was wondering, because I think I had seen it in the literature, one part of your target audience might be people battling muscular dystrophy. People battling muscular dystrophy may be looking at a gradual decrease in their muscular ability. Have you been able to be able to chart or measure, you know, for how long can your wheel be helpful to those folks?
Right. We're currently working in a couple of different research areas. So we're partnered with the University of Illinois here with a multi-speed geared wheel that's currently being tested in one of the biomechanics labs here at the University of Illinois. We're also working with a lab, Brooke Slavin's lab at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. They also work with Shriners Hospital. What we're really trying to fine-tune is seeing what tools we can either create or how our existing tool, the Easy Push Wheel, can really make that impact on people with muscular dystrophy, progressive diseases such as MS. Really, it's an interesting component where we can see what tools we can create and how they can impact a person's life, especially when it's a disease progression. There's a lot of different components that go on with disease progression, not only that physical decline in physical ability, but also that social and a lot of different dynamics that go into that. If we can provide something that eases that decline for that individual and provides them continued independence as their disease progresses. We see tremendous value with that. Right after the New York Marathon, Josh is going to go meet with the ALS Society in New York, which is the Lou Gehrig's disease, and meet with them and really see how our products might be able to influence people's lives, being disease-specific.
Does IntelliWheels sort of have this field all to itself? Are there other companies and maybe other approaches to making a wheel that's usable for a wider variety of people?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't know this at the beginning, but as we were going through the process, Scott, our engineer, showed me the patent list for geared products for wheelchairs. And people have been patenting geared wheels and geared ideas since the 1950s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it's not exactly a new idea. And even in the market right now, there are a few other companies that are doing things that are similar. We are the only one that is using gearing, mechanical gearing in the way that we are, but there are other companies that use power assist wheels, which are wheels that have motors in them to help amplify the power that you put into it. And there are other devices that can be attached to the frame to help push you along as well. So there are companies coming at it from different angles, and these different products all have their advantages and disadvantages, and we're trying to fit into that space as well.
In the IntelliWheels approach, what do you think is your biggest challenge? What's the next thing over the hill that you would like your product to be able to do?
Well, we are all about creating options for the wheelchair user. So right now we have a great wheel for people who have a little bit of trouble pushing their wheelchair. But what we want to do in the future is we really want to create wheels that will help everybody across the wheelchair using spectrum, from people that need a little assistance to push their chair all the way through to active wheelchair users such as myself, who perhaps have no problem pushing their chair through daily life, but want to be able to take their chair and use it in ways that they can't currently. And with some of the geared technology that we're developing, I think it will really open up parts of the world to wheelchair users that haven't been accessible to date.
Going upstairs yet?
Well, it's funny. I can actually climb stairs myself in a chair, but it takes a bit of a technique thing, but we haven't come up with the wheel that will help you get upstairs yet. But we're thinking more in wheels that help you go off the paved roads, go off the paved sidewalks, and explore.
So like into the woods,
into the woods, hiking trails, even just making it easier for parents in wheelchairs to go out into the field or into grassy areas and play with their kids.
Have you tried this yet, working with the IntelliWheels wheel, just getting off? Have you done it yourself?
I have done it in some controlled settings, and it's been a lot of fun. But that's one of the things that I am the most excited about, is being able to explore with these wheels and try some new things out with the wheels that we're creating.
Well, this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. There's still time for your questions about wheelchairs, wheel design, wheelchair athletics with Marissa Siebel and Joshua George, both of IntelliWheels and both of University of Illinois Wheelchair Athletics, and that program where Josh is one of the athletes and Marissa is one of the trainers. Call 1-800-222-9455 to talk to us, or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WILL. I remember when I got my first bicycle with gears as a kid, and even with a simple 3-speed model, it meant more things that could break and needed repairing. The chain going off the gears, it's not a chain in there that you have to worry about,
no.
Is there?
No. Scott is such an incredible engineer. He really took a lot of this thought and the maintenance aspect of it when he was designing the product. So inside the hub is where the gearing system is between the push rim and the wheel itself. And it was really important to make a product that was going to be durable, low to no maintenance, and really be reliable for that wheelchair user, especially if we're working in populations where they don't have a lot of ability to do wheelchair maintenance themselves. It's really important to give them a product that will simply deliver what they need.
If something goes wrong with the wheel, is it repairable? Is it something that, something that somebody could take apart at home, or would they have to send it into a factory somewhere?
Oh, well, it's the way it was designed, we really made some smart choices to try and prevent a lot of that. Absolutely, if there were any failure with the product, we're a very customer-friendly company. But along with that, we made some really smart decisions. When we looked at what type of wheel we were going to base our geared wheel off of, we decided to use a solid tire instead of a pneumatic tire. Considering the population that was going to be using our product, you know, we didn't feel like they would necessarily appreciate when they would get a flat tire if they were using our product. So some of these decisions were looking at how the end user was going to use the product. So it comes with a flat-free tire, which is a solid tire, and then also looking at the population and how they would use the tool. It was really important to create it so it was, for the most part, no maintenance once it was attached to the wheelchair.
And all the gears are sealed up in the hub, so you can even take a power washer to it to clean the wheels down, wipe them down. They're weather resistant. No worries there.
You never feel the gears jumping or stripping the way that my old Schwinn racer would do from time to time.
No, you won't feel the gears stripping away. They're solid gears that will last for the lifetime of the wheel.
And what's been pretty cool about developing this is that all of our manufacturing and assembly is actually occurring in a 30-mile radius of Champaign. So we work in doing all of our plastics in Paxton. All of our gears come out of Sadorus, Illinois, and we do all of our assembly in Rantoul. So it's really nice that we can really oversee what's going on with the product.
Now, as far as the level of manufacture you're at, are you providing continuous work for some people?
We're scaling up to that.
Not yet, but soon.
And, we love that we are homegrown here in our community. We've had so much support from, whether it be the entrepreneurial side or our local community, or even taking advantage of different programs that the state offers, that we've really, we love being in Champaign. We're excited to continue to grow in this community. The design, the product is absolutely scalable. So although we've only had the product out on the market for about 3 months, we are absolutely able to continue to scale the product and scale manufacturing. And we do look to not only hire more on the engineering side, bookkeeping, assembly. So we definitely have some ideas of how we look to grow the company in the upcoming months.
So this is interesting. I had spoken to you, I believe, Marissa, earlier in 2011,
yep,
when your company won an award, I think, mm-hmm, for design. The product came, it took 2 years to get the product to market if you came out this summer.
Yes.
So it's a lot of work just getting a startup company started up.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been an amazing experience, having Josh and having Scott and our board of directors and our mentors. We really needed all of that help to move things forward. We were fortunate to have the relationships in our community that we could do some accurate beta testing. We work with Clark Lindsay over on Windsor Road, which they were gracious enough and had the foresight to invite our concepts and our prototypes to work with some of their clients over there at the assisted living home. One of my favorite stories is of a wonderful woman named Joanne, who their family really, and Joanne was really in a hard point where she could no longer get from her room to the cafeteria, which was necessary in that level of assisted living. We made an agreement, and she was able to use our beta easy push wheels, and she was able to stay in assisted living instead of moving up to skilled nursing, which would have come with a lot more cost restriction and everything. What was so great is we were able to come back a year later and work with Joanne, upgrade her wheels, and find out that she was doing quite well and able to again stay in assisted living with our product.
You know, I'm wondering, Marissa, you're able-bodied. Your co-founder and designer, Scott Daigle, is able-bodied.
Yes.
What inspired you, and perhaps Scott, mm-hmm, if he had the initial idea, to turn all of your attentions and passion and sweat into this particular product for this particular need and market.
Working with Scott and watching him develop this idea, and Scott had been working on this for a couple of years before we incorporated the company. So probably for about the last 5 or 6 years, this really has been a passion for Scott. And it really, I've been able to watch him work and see how he's been able to take the skills and the knowledge that he gained from his engineering program, both his undergrad and his master's, and translate that into something that actually is helping someone and is making such a dramatic impact in life. And, you know, it's so great for me to watch Scott. And I think one of his key beliefs is, why wouldn't every wheelchair have the option to be geared? And really, for him, I think it's that excitement of really making an impact on the industry. And then for Scott, going out on sales calls and meeting with the end users, he's able to see how his idea and his invention is actually making an impact on someone's daily life. For myself, you know, it was a fantastic transition to go from working in wheelchair athletics and then really challenging myself to transition into that role of working in a startup company.
You know, I was just thinking, I guess it would be like going from stock cars to Indy cars, but could you imagine this technology being used in a racing wheelchair, Josh?
If we had some gears, we'd definitely be able to hit some speeds that we'd never seen before.
You think that's feasible? I don't know if it's, you know, if it's a matter of, is there such a speed as too fast inside when there's really nothing protecting you from the ground?
Oh, when you're trying to win a race, there's no such thing as too fast. Unfortunately, though, in the rules, it is illegal to use a geared wheel.
It would be like a new division of racing. Could you imagine people wanting to try it out at one point?
Possibly, yeah. The things that I see developing from these wheels are more recreational athletic activities, though, with people using these wheels to get out on the bike trail in their standard everyday chair. Just like, you know, the majority of people aren't professional marathoners, but they might go out and jog on the weekends or jog during the week. And I see more wheelchair users possibly using these wheels to do that for more recreational physical activity.
Well, we're just out of time, but I wanted to say thank you to both you, Josh George, and Marissa Siebel of IntelliWheels for coming on Focus today. You're also both with the U of I Wheelchair Athletic Program. Also, thanks to Tatiana McFadden with the same program. Her recorded interview opened Focus today. We welcome any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website. That's at will.illinois.edu/focus, or just try Googling for WILL Focus. Today's show was produced by Lindsay Moon. Jason Croft is our technical director. Sari Lesk, our intern, helping with production and research. Tomorrow on Focus, another program on lawn and garden care. Horticulture expert Sandy Mason of the University of Illinois Extension will be on hand to answer your questions. That's on Thursday's show. Focus is live each weekday morning at 10. There's a replay at 8 p.m. You can hear it archived anytime at will.illinois.edu/focus. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus on WILL.